Good evening, and thank you for joining us for Conversations Live, Privatizing Liquor Sales in Pennsylvania. I'm Patty Satalia. Earlier this week, the House Liquor Control Committee voted to keep the state's liquor stores, but set up a parallel system to allow wine to be sold by private companies and retail beer distributors. Although this revamped bill doesn't move the state out of the business of selling alcohol, as originally proposed by House Majority Leader Mike Terzai's House Bill 11, it is the first such bill to pass out of committee since prohibition ended in 1933. How does this change the conversation, and where does it go from here? We'll talk about that and more. Now let's meet our guests. Joining us from Video Link in Philadelphia is Wendell Young, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 1776, Jay Ostrich, director of public affairs for the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives, and Dave DeSimone, a wine, food, and travel writer and KQV radio host. Thank you all so much for joining us.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you for being here.
Let's begin by finding out from each of your perspectives, what is wrong, and I'll begin with you, Dave DeSimone, what is wrong with the current system?
Well, I think to say what is wrong is not necessarily the only question here. There's a lot that you could say is wrong, and there's a lot that is right. I mean, philosophically, I am for privatization because I believe that inventory should be determined by response to demand of consumers as opposed to bureaucratic command of government officials. But I also have a saying, and I get into hot water sometimes with readers about this when I say, be careful what you wish for because you just might get it. And I could expand on that later, but I think that that's certainly apropos.
So you're acknowledging that there's some good with this system and
tremendous
you're not sure
good,
what privatization
in fact, better,
might bring.
Better than other jurisdictions. So if changes come, we could lose some things that are very good right now. And we might gain some things, but we'd lose some things.
Okay, we'll find out what some of those things might be later. What do you see, Jay, as wrong with this system?
Well, the bottom line for bottoms up is that it's time for government to butt out of the booze business, and that's what the people of Pennsylvania are seeing and saying. They've been voting on this issue with their feet and their wallets for years as they have really been turned into bootleggers to be able to buy what they want at a fair price. And they know that the government and the booze business is a lose business. It's a loss of personal freedom, and it's a loss of economic freedom. And I certainly hope we can talk about those things tonight.
Okay. Well, you say, and I'm going to move to Wendell Young in just a moment to answer that same question, but you say a loss of economic freedom. On one hand, we hear that the PLCB is bringing $500 million into the state treasury.
Sure. Well, that's a little bit of a shell game that you get out of people who run the PLCB and folks like Wendell, who will speak a little bit later. While it's true that $400 to $500 million is transferred into the general fund from the PLCB, what they don't ever tell you is that about 80% of that is actually just collected on taxes. Those are taxes on wine, taxes on spirits, things like the Johnstown flood tax that we're still paying for all these years later. And what we do know is that no matter who collects them, whether it's workers from Wendell's union or whether it's mom and pop shops and other stores on the private sector, that those taxes will be collected anyway. And so the government really isn't doing justice to its citizens. It's controlling them, and we think that's wrong, and we think that removing that control will actually bring more money to the state and more jobs.
Wendell Young, you wonder why we're asking the question, what's wrong with the system?
Well, I look at it from the other side of the glass. What's right about the system? I think we have the best of both worlds here in Pennsylvania. We have a system, as we just heard some discussion about, that produces consistent, reliable revenue, a lot of revenue, about $500 million a year currently. We have a system that provides good access, selection, and fair pricing throughout the whole Commonwealth. People do not get gouged in areas where there's a minimal number of stores. They don't get gouged in tourist areas. They pay the same price for the same product throughout the state. And, often we're compared to other states by people who push a perception that everything's better in other states. People at the Commonwealth Foundation often say selection in other states is better. Well, most of us travel. We go to resort areas or business centers in downtown areas, and you might come across a handful of stores that are really wonderful superstore kind of places, but overwhelming majority of most stores in other states don't come close to what we have here in Pennsylvania. The smallest stores carry 1,500 to 2,500 items. The medium-sized stores carry 2, 3, 4,000 items, and the premium collection stores carry north of 6,000 items. There's not a state in the nation you can go to where every store has that much selection, where the system lists up to 30,000 approximate items that are regularly available through the warehouses, and where you can get anything made anywhere on the planet as long as the producer will ship it to you. Now, it is true there are a few select dealers or retailers that will do that in some states, but not from every store across the state.
Yeah,
and
I want to follow up real quickly with Jay on what you've said, though, because he's talking about 6,000 different products at a premium collection store.
Well,
let me just say one thing before you comment on it. Costco in the state of Washington, one of the biggest liquor retailers out there, has 140 different brands of wine and stocks 32 different brands of liquor.
Well, I think there is a marketplace for all the different types of wines and liquors that aren't offered by the PLCB, full government monopoly control over the people. It's called the Internet. And in fact, in the Internet, what you would be able to find, and Dave, correct me if I'm wrong, there's more than 35,000 different wineries across the globe. 35,000 wineries and more than 250,000 bottles of wine to choose from. So it's absurd to think that the government should be...
And are other states allowing internet sales?
Many of them do, as a matter of fact, and you can dial it up. We don't need Chairman Select when you can actually select right from your chair at home. That's called freedom. It's what other states enjoy, and it's certainly something that we don't have with government-controlled liquor and wine sales.
I'm going to go back to Wendell Young for just a minute, and I want an explanation of the newly amended House Bill 11. Some people are calling it the gut and replace amendment, and I'm wondering from where you're sitting, how does that look?
Well, it looks like the bill that Mike Terzai has been talking about for most of the last year in name only, in number only. The only thing that resembles Mike Terzai's privatization bill is the bill number. And this is one area where the Commonwealth Foundation, Jay and myself, have a lot in common. We both think this is a bad bill. They issued a statement this week on that. So have I. It's one of the few areas we can agree on. This bill doesn't make a whole lot of sense.
What don't you like about the amended bill?
Well, from my perspective, remember, I'm a union official. I represent the people that work in the stores. This will dilute the amount of product that moves through Pennsylvania, through the Liquor Control Board, through the stores. It'll dilute the state's buying power.
It preserves
ultimately
jobs,
dilute
though.
The revenue. And that's what I'm getting at. It'll dilute revenue and reduce job employment levels in the system. And it'll reduce the profit that gets returned to the state year after year, and which steadily increases over time. From a consumer point of view, I don't think it's going to mean more selection. Most of these beer distributors, first of all, the beer distributors and their lobby have come out against this bill. What this bill will do is allow the current beer distributors in the state of Pennsylvania for a $50,000 license and a $15,000 renewal fee to be able to sell wine. They can choose to buy that wine through the Liquor Control Board, or they can buy it through yet-to-be-established wine wholesalers, who, to be a wine wholesaler, you'd have to spend $100 million on a license. It's hard for me and some others that have looked at this, including the wholesalers. And by the way, the wholesalers have come out against this.
$100 million for them to purchase a license.
The beer distributors against it. Everybody that's for privatization, except Mike Terzai, is against this bill. It just doesn't make a lot of sense. The numbers haven't been tested. They haven't been vetted. There's been no study done. There's been no budget office modeling done. The governor's office hasn't modeled it. Nobody's modeled what the impact on the current system, the buying power of the current system, the revenue to the system, the jobs picture. And when you have the wholesalers, or the very people that you would think would line up to buy the wholesale licenses, saying, this doesn't make sense. It doesn't work. You have the retailers.
But let me butt in here and get Dave DeSimone to weigh in on this. What do you think of this amended House Bill 11?
Well, it came out of nowhere, basically. And I suspect that there are a few malt beverage distributors who are in favor of this, because this bill seems to have some vested interests maybe being represented there. I'm not exactly sure who that might be. But I agree with Wendell in the sense that I did talk to a couple beer distributors in Western PA, and And they don't really have an immediate appetite because they didn't really have any knowledge of the bill. But a bill doesn't come out of nowhere. I mean, somebody put that legislation in, and I don't think that I don't even know who you know, presented the bill, but somebody wrote that legislation. So there's somebody who wants that to pass.
Well, Taylor is the one who introduced it from Philadelphia,
right. But maybe
I think
we
consumers.
Should ask him.
Okay, right. I think a lot of consumers are saying, but yes, now I can go to my local beer distributor and buy wine. I don't have to go to two places.
That's true.
And I can go
Patty.
I can go into a, I'll let you talk in one second, but I'll go into a tavern or a bar and I can pick up a 30-pack rather than a 6-pack.
I'll give you an example, okay? One of, and I know a lot of folks at PLCB stores, and I've talked about this in my articles, a passion for me is Burgundy wines. And the PLCB does a pretty good job. It's improved over the years, but they cannot go to the depth that a really passionate retailer of Burgundy wines who wanted to do that could do. And it just might be, there might be a malt beverage distributor out there who loves Burgundy, who says, I'm going to be the best darn Burgundy retailer in the state. I'll be able to ship it all around the state legally and, you know, make money doing it at the same time. Right now, they can't do that. Right now, it's people in Harrisburg who decide, you know, what the inventory is going to be.
This bill is going to the House, and it could be reverted back to its original intent. I mean, who knows what amendments may be added or subtracted down the road. Jay, I'll let you in, and then Wendell, and I'm taking a phone call.
Well, that's absolutely true. We expect the bill to take on many nuances as it goes to the House floor, and we expect many amendments here. But what we know definitively is that when government is actually picking the winners, the wine winners and liquor losers, the two entities that really lose are consumers and taxpayers. And this issue is about people, and it's time that we take people's choices into consideration. This is about freedom.
Okay. Wendell, you wanted to say something earlier?
Yeah, the bill does a few other things. It provides a lot more flexibility to the PLCB and how they would do business. You know, one of the complaints you hear from some of those who want to privatize is, in addition to what you just heard Jay say, is selection, pricing, store hours, days they're open, hours of operation. This would provide more flexibility. Some of the issues would enhance revenue, improve revenue to the state at a time it's much needed. So
right.
The bill also provides more flexibility for the PLCB to run more efficiently, to improve. And, you know, the obstacle for every criticism that's leveled at the PLCB, almost all of those things are actually the obstacles that folks like Mike Terzai put up by, as a legislator, not allowing the system to operate more flexible.
One of the things that you're talking about that would be greater flexibility is right now only 25% of the stores can operate on Sundays under this amended House Bill 11. All of them could have hours from 9 a.m. until 9 p.m. on Sundays. But let me take a phone call.
That's correct.
We have Joseph on the line from Johnstown. Joseph, go ahead, please.
Hey, I've been a fan of yours here in Johnstown for possibly a number of years. And I've always admired the way you do your broadcast.
Well, thank you very much.
My question is this, Patty. If privatization does possibly get through, would that increase or decrease the number of alcoholics in this Commonwealth? And what programs would be available for those people? I will hang up and listen for my answer. Thank you, Patty, and good luck, and Merry Christmas to you.
Thank you. Same to you. Jay.
Well, we've actually taken a look at this particular question quite extensively, and what study after study has found is that the point of purchase actually has nothing to do with social ills. And this is demonstrated not only through studies, but by common sense. We have neighbors to the east in New Jersey that have all privatized liquor and wine sales, and yet they have a third of the number of DUI-related fatalities. And Pennsylvania, you would expect, would have the number one or number two best safety record with alcohol
in
the country, because we are the us and Utah, that's it, with full government control of wine and liquor sales. So if more government control equals more safety, then we'd be one or two, but we're not. We're actually in the middle of the pack, which suggests very strongly that the causality is not point of purchase.
Wendell Young, do you think the PLCB plays any significant role in keeping liquor out of the wrong hands and keeping...
Sure, it does. Sure, it does. And Jay knows what he just said is less than accurate. You know, the Commonwealth Foundation has funded a couple of briefing papers. I don't think anybody who are true researchers calls the work they've done research. It's very biased, and it doesn't follow or even come close to the overwhelming evidence that's been produced over the years by real scientists who study these issues, real doctors, real professors who go and test their work by putting it out for peer review and having it published. None of the work the Commonwealth Foundation has funded that he refers to has been peer-reviewed or published. Now, if you look at the actual work, the real work, the studies are overwhelming. It shows that control states, whether you're talking about here in the United States or across the globe, in other countries where they have control jurisdictions, do a much better job. And I'll just give you a couple simple examples. He and his
quick examples that I'm going to let them chime in.
Yeah. He talks about DUI. DUI does not distinguish between whether the person drank beer or wine and spirits. In Pennsylvania, we have amongst the lowest consumption of wine and spirits in the nation. We have amongst the highest revenue per gallon for the state, for the taxpayers of Pennsylvania, and we have, for as long as they've been tracking it, the lowest overall death rate related to alcohol consumption in the nation. Those three stats sum it up very nicely. Yes, we make a difference. We're proud of that. And we provide for all Pennsylvanians with that kind of work, not just those who drink.
Okay.
And that's a minority of the people in Pennsylvania.
I'm going to let Dave DeSimone weigh in on this.
One thing that I think, say what you will about the PLCB, they really do police underage sales. I mean, I've never heard of an instance. I'm sure it's happened, but they just are on top of that completely.
But most people say you don't go into the store if you're underage.
But,
you ask someone to go in and buy it for you.
But go to other jurisdictions and go to these really kind of, marginal corner stores where they're trying to stay in business to make a buck. They're going to be tempted to sell to underage people. That doesn't happen in Pennsylvania. So, I mean, we have to, I think, acknowledge that is a good point.
Jay, your thoughts on this, and I'm going to move to Valerie from Hollidaysburg.
Well, a couple things. Wendell Young talking about peer review and science is kind of like Tom Brady talking about stem cell research. He looks good on TV. He can throw a good pass. But frankly, he's not equipped to actually talk about scientific method. This study was actually done not only by an accredited doctor, a PhD from Duquesne University, but this was a study. There were other studies from very highly regarded places like the Reason Foundation. And not only that, he still doesn't explain why Pennsylvania isn't number one or number two in social ills, DUI-related fatalities, binge drinking, underage drinking. If the government control's so good, why aren't we the best? We're not.
Okay.
There's a reason why.
We will go now to Valerie, who is patiently hanging on in Hollidaysburg. You're on the air, Valerie.
Thank you very much. Mine is more anecdotal, but I've lived in other states, and my husband was in the military. I don't necessarily agree that privatizing is going to make things better. When I lived in Maryland, I wouldn't even go near most of the liquor stores after dark because of the people that hung around them. And you almost wanted to shower after you did go in one of them. And the selection was not always better. I don't know where people are going that this selection is better and the prices are cheaper.
What?
I found that everybody's now raised their sin taxes so much that we're pretty much on equal basis when it comes to some of these things. But
Dave DeSimone,
I don't find that it's a much better deal.
Okay.
Can I say one more thing?
Mm-hmm.
I find the people that work at our liquor stores are helpful and they're nice. And believe me, I'm not a pro-union person, so I'm not looking at it at that aspect. But I find that when I go in, if I have a question, they're always pleasant and they're very helpful.
Now,
thank you.
Thank you for your call. Sorry
thank
to be
you.
Interrupting
yeah.
you. Now, Dave, you have been to all of the border stores.
Right.
And you say it's a mixed bag.
It is a mixed bag. And I don't always agree with, I think it was Valerie, that clerks and PLCB stores are always helpful. I personally have had experiences recently where they haven't been so helpful. So I think there are a lot good and there are a lot that aren't. And I'm not sure the accountability is where it should be in terms of maybe the training and holding them accountable. But I think that what you're going to see is, if there is true privatization, like you see in some other jurisdictions, in wealthier enclaves, you're going to have better stores. And in places that don't have the economics, you're going to have marginal stores. And right now, it is true that there, as Wendell pointed out, there's sort of a baseline of stores, you might say, that because you do have premium stores which can rival any in other jurisdictions with their selection. But the baseline stores, which are, I don't know, maybe 400 or maybe 500 of the 620 stores, they have sort of mediocrity. I would say that their inventory is pretty good, but it's not outstanding. And if privatization came, a lot of those stores would get a lot worse.
Well, what about in rural areas where they they're only open three days a week because there's not much business? What happens to people? Are they now driving?
That could be the online
40 miles?
Sales.
Well, okay.
And that's exactly right. When we allow free markets to, and people to actually determine what they want to drink for themselves, then we'll see competition, we'll see better prices, we will actually see a marketplace on the internet which allows the freedom of individuals to choose from their chair, not have a chairman having a selection, a government worker deciding what you should drink and what you shouldn't drink. That's absurd to a lot of Pennsylvanians who have fought for freedom, frankly. The caller brought up military. I've served in the military, and I speak today as a citizen, not as a soldier. But I'll tell you, as a veteran, I will say this. I served my Commonwealth and country in uniform and served overseas fighting for freedom. I shouldn't have to come back to my Commonwealth and fight them for the freedom to be served.
Hey, the PX has the best deals, I might add, too.
But they don't have the best selection.
That's
I want
true.
To select from the internet.
Well, let's talk about this. Pennsylvania has the most buying power of almost anyone in North America.
Let me say this about the chairman selection. You mentioned them a couple times. Some of those deals are the very best in the nation. Now, I would agree with you philosophically. They were not selected by a private retailer, but that's why I'm saying that there are some things that you cannot really, it's really not subject to argument. They're the best price in the country for a lot of wines, because what they do is they go to these suppliers when they're vulnerable on a, you know, like as anybody would do, and say, hey, man, we'll give you 15 cents
state.
On the dollar.
And he's absolutely right.
And
I'm not here to argue that. What I am here to say is that when government chooses, the consumers lose across the board, and that they're picking wine winners and liquor losers. Taxpayers and consumers are losing. It's time to let people have the freedom to choose for themselves.
You may chime in, and then I'll go to our next call.
Patty, I grew up in retail. I spent most of my life working in and representing people in retail, and I'm familiar with how retail works all across the country. You know, whether it's the officials or the management at the PLCB, or whether it's the leadership at a private retailer like Walmart, Costco, or a supermarket chain, they're going to go based on what most of the customers prefer to have, and they're going to go based on the deals they can make. When you go into a Costco that has the numbers you talked about earlier in Washington State, 140 wines,
30.
Or 400 wines, 140 liquors, whatever it is, a fraction of what the PLCB carries in its smallest stores, you know, that's not the customers picking that list. That's Costco picking what's good for their profit margin. And Jay's being very disingenuous and making it sound like every customer in every other state can decide on their own what's going to be carried on the shelves of those stores. You go into a retail store, a supermarket, a discount store, the products they sell are limited by the amount of shelf space they have and the deals they can make on that merchandise. And it's no different with alcohol. Yes, it's true, you might have one or two stores that will carry some things different, but you asked at the beginning of this particular portion what's going to happen in those rural areas. We don't have to wonder what's going to happen. We can look at what happened in West Virginia not too long ago, the last state that privatized. Five counties after privatization had no liquor stores at all because no one would take a liquor license for any price because there just wasn't enough population density. And if you look at Pennsylvania, it is the largest rural population state in the nation. A lot of the landmass of Pennsylvania looks just like West Virginia, and the density numbers look just like it. It'll be a lot like West Virginia. Go to West Virginia today. 90% of the stores have less selection than what our smallest stores in Pennsylvania have.
Okay. Dave?
Well, you know, Wendell, after privatization took place in West Virginia, there was also, I believe, something called not exactly sure what it was, but it allowed small wine retailers to go into business. And I hate to say it, but just over the border in West Virginia, there are some stores that do rival, you know, some of our premium stores.
Here's the number on the last year they rebid all their licenses, and the number is almost exactly as the first bid 20 years ago, and 74% of all the licenses went to chain drug stores, chain convenience stores, and chain supermarkets, who all carry a very small selection and higher prices than what carries here in Pennsylvania.
You're right about that.
There are some specialty shops that are very unique and different. But I think our premium collection shops hold up just as well to them.
You said this, Dave, a perfect wine retail distribution system simply does not exist.
True. I did. I wrote that because I think the consumer should understand that, whatever happens, we're not going to have a perfect system. Although philosophically, I do go back to, it should be the situation that if I'm a wine consumer and I love whatever, I mean, I happen to like certain type of wine, somebody else likes something else, they should be able to buy that wine. Now, we don't live in a perfect world, so I always tell people, until the change happens, and if it happens, go to the stores and take advantage of it. And, I think you touched on this earlier, Jay, truth be told, and Wendell, I don't know if you addressed this or not, but, I mean, there is a flood of wine coming into Pennsylvania from out of the state. I think people at the PLCB, if they're honest, they'd admit it. People go outside,
border bleed,
and they buy things that they cannot find here, or they choose to buy it because they're on vacation, or they just want to have a bottle of wine and bring it home. And it's happening. So, I don't know what you say about that, but it's true.
I have talked a lot about this. What's interesting is one of the shows I've appeared on a lot is KDAK out in Pittsburgh. And when I would get on Mike Pintak's show a year ago on this issue, he would always talk about the border bleed from the greater Philadelphia area into Delaware and Maryland. Now, it's kind of interesting that he doesn't talk about border bleed into Ohio because it doesn't exist, nor does it exist into New York because the prices are so high in New York. It doesn't exist in West Virginia because the selection's so bad and the prices are so high. It does go into Delaware, though, because Delaware has no retail sales taxes, and people go to Delaware to buy their wine and spirits just like they buy every other consumer good because of the tax issue. Maryland has a very low excise tax.
I'm disagreeing.
Maryland has a very, very low excise tax and almost no retail taxes
I'm going to let Jay respond.
There's a few things just absolutely not true, and Wendell knows this. If you go across the border in almost anywhere in Pennsylvania, what you will find is that there are retail shops set up for one reason. It's not for fun. It's to take Pennsylvania money and keep it there because they are serving a consumer need that the PLCB cannot currently buy. And actually, Dave, the PLCB, while they're not being honest with it, and you're right about that, they have studied it. In fact, they've used taxpayer dollars to study it, and what they found was this. In Philadelphia, where Wendell sits right now, and the eight surrounding counties, they determined through their study that actually $140 million a year is lost just in those eight counties alone on retail sales, and that's about $40 million in taxes if we're really concerned about it.
Sean from Stoytstown, you are on the air.
My question is that I'm wondering how the Commonwealth could not want to privatize it whenever there's liquor stores in this area that are only open 2-3 days a week. And I think it'd be more convenient for Pennsylvanians to be able to walk into a convenience store and buy something as far as in wine or beer or something like that, like as you can in West Virginia. And I recently visited West Virginia, and it was a pretty good system, I thought.
Dave?
What's the gentleman's name? I didn't get it.
It's Sean.
Sean. I think that Sean has an opinion. He has a taste in wine. I have a taste in wine. Jay has a taste in wine. And there's a variety. And in a private system, you're going to meet that demand because there's going to be people who can make a profit doing that. So, I think that if there were enough people like Sean in his area, then somebody would probably open a store and serve it. But if I lived there and I had a different taste from him then, you know, I might not be able to get what I want there. So I'd have to go to another city or something like that. Whereas right now, you know, you can go to PLCB stores and they're spread throughout the Commonwealth and basically find something for everybody. That's true. If you, especially at the premium stores, and Wendell, I don't know how many there are, but I think there are something like maybe 20 or 30 of those across the state, and they spread them out strategically. And it really is true. They actually have better selection than many other places. It's amazing the depth that they have. The breadth of their selection. Not obviously a lot of depth and multiple selections, but they cover the waterfront because they do have people who know what they're doing and buying. They really do. They've made a real effort to try to improve the buying, and I know some of the people who are buyers there, and they're very knowledgeable. They travel to Europe, they go to California. They're not dummies.
That's one of the complaints.
Absolutely
is that...
Absolutely right, and in fact, they do travel all throughout the world, and guess what? It is on your dime and my dime and Dave's dime. It is on the taxpayer dime. They travel and pick wine winners and liquor losers throughout the planet, and they spend a lot of taxpayer money doing so. In fact, one of the things that Wendell won't tell you is that $215 million last year were spent on the salaries, benefits, and pensions for these workers who could very easily be in the private sector, but the taxpayers are on the hook for
them average, right now. The average employee makes something like $31,000 a year.
That's correct. A little bit over $31,000.
The salaries of the executive staff at the PLCB don't come close to what's paid in the private sector.
Neither does
your
salary,
Wendell. It's a very efficiently run system. It's a very efficiently run system. The counterparts I deal with, retailers in negotiating contracts, make millions of dollars a year with stock options and all kinds of deferred compensation. It's ridiculous for anyone to point to the salary system in the PLCB as a problem. The private sector certainly pays more, and that gets passed on to the consumer.
Well, unfortunately, it's the taxpayer who's paying those salaries, and the jobs that he just explained are actually determined by the consumer.
The entire operating cost budget of the PLCB is paid for out of the revenues of the system. There's no debt. There's no burden on the taxpayers at all. And after all that, they pass on about $500 million a year in taxes and profit. The net profit of the PLCB is in excess of 5.5% per year. The largest and most successful retailers in this country don't even come close. Most of them do less than half.
I want to talk about some of the other opponents to privatization in just a moment. But if you're just joining us, I'm Patty Satalia, and this is Conversations Live, Privatizing Liquor Sales in Pennsylvania on WPSU-TV. Let me reintroduce our guests. Joining us from VideoLink in Philadelphia is Wendell Young, president of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union Local 1776. Jay Ostrich, director of public affairs for the Commonwealth Foundation for Public Policy Alternatives, and Dave DeSimone, wine, food, and travel writer, and KQV radio host. Jack Wagner, the Auditor General, thinks privatization is a bad idea. A number of conservative groups have mixed feelings. Some believe that the government shouldn't be, on one hand, selling alcohol, and on the other hand, arresting people for things. Respond to that. I mean, it's not sure. Just unions who are opposed to privatization.
I'm really glad you brought this up. And the people of Pennsylvania have seen the absurdity in this system for a long time. We have a government agency that's actually determining what you can buy and what you can't buy. We wouldn't put up with that if they were selecting jeans or guns, flowers, or anything else. But for some reason, we think that it's okay for them to select our wine and liquor for us. And the problem with it is this. We are essentially having a government agency that is at war against itself. They're really like pyromaniacs preaching fire prevention. On one end of the market, they are spending millions of dollars, in fact, more than $10 million of taxpayer money advertising and promoting liquor sales, and then spending millions of more on preventing the ailment of liquor sales. It's an absurd contradiction.
Explain the privatization model that the Commonwealth Foundation would favor.
Sure. It's very simple. It's that the consumers actually decide and the taxpayers are not in the hook for crony capitalism where government actually selects the winners and losers. It's as simple as that. The free market can determine very well what wines and liquors are sold. The internet does a great job at doing that as well. We don't need government in the booze business. It has been a loose business. It's antiquated. It's a prohibition era throwback, and people are sick of it.
Smeal College of Business professor did an op-ed which basically said we should allow anyone who wants to sell wine and beer to sell wine and beer with, of course, some safety regulations.
Yeah, I love it. I think it would be great to have beer, bread, bourbon, and Bordeaux right on the same shelf and allow people like in other states to be able to choose for themselves what they consume and what they don't. It works in other states. It can work in Pennsylvania. We have to get rid of this dinosaur that costs taxpayers and consumers their freedom economically and personally.
All right. We go to Steve, who is calling us from Lycoming County. Go ahead, Steve.
Yeah, I was just calling to find out where these gentlemen, where you gentlemen get your information as far as the cost to the taxpayer of the liquor system. I have been under the understanding, and I have seen it in action, when the state has had a budget crisis, many government workers have not received their salaries. There has been that threat of layoffs, but yet the liquor board people seem to continue to get their payment, their salary every week. I just wondered where your information is coming from that we are the liquor board's costing the taxpayers money.
I'll let Wendell Young respond to that first. Wendell?
Well, it doesn't cost the taxpayers money because it generates, in fact, it's one of the few places in government that generates a profit here in Pennsylvania that works for all Pennsylvanians. And, you know, every time privatization comes up, when conservative planets line up in the state, you hear all these calls for it's not making money, it's going to lose money, and it's never turned out that way. The fact is that if you look at the history of the PLCB and even in the past decade, that the revenue has consistently gone up. The profits have consistently gone up. In fact, while Jay and others at the Commonwealth Foundation and Mike Terzai have been running around yelling, the sky's falling, it's running out of money, it's going broke, it just had a record-breaking year in total revenue and profits. Now, Jay and others have a bizarre interpretation of the PLCB's accounting, but I'm going to go with Jack Wagner. He is a real accountant, unlike Jay and some others. He is the elected auditor general, and he has clearly pointed out how valuable the system is and how much money it makes, and the spreadsheets from accumulated past years show that, too. What you just heard, Jay, and what you hear all the time about this issue is a philosophical argument for privatization. And arguing with a philosophical point is like debating religion. It's not a fact-based conversation. And the only reason they focus so much on philosophy is because the facts don't support their argument. The newspapers in Pennsylvania that have studied selection and pricing in border states who are in favor of privatization, embarrassingly, have had to report in recent years that actually selection and pricing in the border states isn't as good. And that's those newspapers that whose editorial boards say that they want privatization. The only studies out there show that the border bleed is rather insignificant, and it's no greater in percentage than people leaving Pennsylvania to buy other goods and services from those same states, usually because they work or they're traveling in the area when they're making those purchases. So these things are all philosophical based. The facts don't hold up. This system works for all Pennsylvanians, produces good revenue, good balance of control and revenue, okay. Nice selection. You know, it's not a good idea to get rid of it.
Jay, and then I have an email that I'd like to read.
The system certainly works for Wendell Young. There's no question about it. But I'm glad you brought up the case of Auditor General Jack Wagner. And he is a great auditor indeed. And, in fact, he studied the PLCB. The caller asked where the numbers come from. Well, some of the numbers actually come from Jack Wagner. And what Jack Wagner found is that there is rampant waste, fraud, and abuse within this system. His own audit that came out this year.
I read his testimony, though, before the committee.
He may say one thing, but his reports say another. It doesn't matter whether he's for it or against it. What he found in his audit was a system out of control. In fact, this is a government agency out of control that is able to spend.
That's actually not what he said, Jay. I read that entire audit.
I read it as well.
Please let me finish my point, if I may. What his auditors found was a $66 million inventory system that didn't work. First of all, it underordered.
Nonetheless, there have been misfires, miscues.
Actually, hundreds of thousands of cases of wine
trailer
and liquor
were
put in trailers
in
100 degrees. Is that good for wine or liquor?
No, that's not.
And this is what Jack
Despite
Wagner
those
found.
Things, though, he still is opposed to privatization.
Well, maybe that's more a political evaluation than what his numbers show, which is that
he was critical of the kiosks as misguided.
Of the kiosk. It was a complete failure at the taxpayer dime. And this is what happens when government actually starts tinkering around and experimenting with taxpayer money. They don't have the risk that private entities do, and so they don't really care. They just have this rampant cronyism that we see in the PLCB and elsewhere.
Let me take this email. Monopolies, this comes from a viewer who writes to us, monopolies are bad, whether they are government monopolies or private ones. We know that from economic logic and actual results. So how does Wendell defend a monopoly? Wendell?
If we were building this system, as Governor Rendell used to say, if we were building the system today, we probably wouldn't build it this way, but we're not. It was built a long time ago, and it's become a reliable source of revenue for Pennsylvania. We have some of the best results when it comes to the effects of alcohol in terms of the overall health of Pennsylvanians. And only about 43% of Pennsylvanians drink, and more people drink by larger quantities beer, not wine and spirits. So we have a nice balance here. And that's why I say it's good to keep it. We can look at those two states that privatized since Prohibition, Iowa and West Virginia, and their results went in the tank. Revenue dropped in both states significantly following privatization, and the taxpayers were the losers, and the consumers were the losers with higher prices and less selection. Now, Governor's PFM study mentions this. Rob McCord, our treasurer, has done some analysis on it, but you don't have to take these people's word for it. Just call up those two states and get the information from their own state government, and you can see that the losers were the consumers and the taxpayers after privatization. Like Dave said, be careful at the beginning of the show. Be careful what you ask for and what you may actually get.
Dave.
Yeah, that's true. That's true, Wendell. But I'm surprised to hear you sort of brag about the fact that there are fewer people drinking wine. I think that's a bad thing, in my opinion, because, you can quote, Thomas Jefferson, many other people, that, drinking wine is something that should be a pleasure. It should be promoted. It should be promoted with meals. And the PLCB cannot do that per se. I mean, that's not their mission. But I do hear this, that, people taking pride that there's less consumption. And I'm not saying that there should be, I guess, overconsumption or...
What would you like to see? Because under this new amended House Bill 11, there could be 1,200 additional outlets for beer and wine. Is that enough?
In an ideal world, I'd like to see some way, and I'm not going to get into the politics, because I've already stated philosophically, I don't think that wine should be a controlled substance. And right now, under the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board. Wine is lumped in with spirits. You're right, Patty, this legislation changes that because it sort of lumps it in with beer. So maybe that will be a positive if it passes. I don't know. But anything that could sort of help allow consumer demand to be met in a private way, I think could be positive if it allows entrepreneurs to get in there and try to address private demands for wine.
And I'm going to take Carl's call in just a moment, but, Governor Schapp pushed for privatization. Governor Thornburg, Governor Rendell,
Governor
here we are
Ridge.
With Governor, Governor Ridge, I mm-hmm. meant to say, and here we are with Governor Corbett. On the other hand, though, you've got some people saying what we really need is modernization, not privatization. Modernization is the solution. Your response to that?
Well, certainly we would embrace modernization, and one of the things that we would embrace with modernizing is just to get Pennsylvania on the per capita national average of the number of wine and liquor outlets. If we were to go to the per capita national average, we would have actually 6,600 100 wine outlets, correct, and we would have more than 2,800 liquor outlets. Now, what that will do
honestly... Does that dilute profits, though?
Well, actually, what it does is it allows mom-and-pop stores and also other businesses to make money, to hire people. In fact, if Wendell Young is really being honest, what he will tell you is that this would actually create tens of thousands of jobs, perhaps more than 20,000 jobs if we were to go to that per capita national average. But he's not really for workers. What he is for is making money off of those workers, which he does with compulsory union dues.
Wendell, I'm going to let you respond to that and then take Carl's call from Warren.
So those who study this and have made a living studying it as professors, scientists, statisticians, they easily have shown that with increase in outlet density comes an increase in consumption. Alcohol, a certain percentage of people who drink alcohol drink it excessively. When you have an increase in consumption, you have an increase in all those other things that come with it. I'm not against responsible adults drinking and people of age drinking. But when you look at the impact of that increased consumption, it's huge. It means more health care dollars get spent. It means more criminal justice dollars get spent, more property damage. It means more livers crap out, more people die, whether it's through a road accident or a bad liver. And the CDC, the Centers for Disease Control, just came out with an extensive study of the overwhelming amount of research gathered on this issue that says you should not privatize more sales. Privatization leads to more consumption, more of these problems. Hundreds of millions of dollars a year would be incurred by Pennsylvania taxpayers and ratepayers. Now, on the issue of modernization, everything that has been talked about that people would like to see, more locations, more selection, better pricing models, the only obstacle to the PLCB doing that in their wine and spirit shops is the legislative restrictions that are placed on them by the legislature. It's not that they can't do it. It's that the legislature won't let them.
So the beef should be with your legislator, not with the PLCB. And I'm going to go, as I promised, to Carl from Warren. Carl, go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. I was just wondering, every time it comes up, you know, why they want to privatize when the liquor stores make a $380 million a year profit. Why would the state want to give that up? It doesn't make any sense when, you know, we're having budget problems anyway in the state.
That's an interesting
point. I'm glad, Carl, that you asked this question. And what we said earlier on the program is that about 80% of what the PLCB stores return to the state is in taxes. Those taxes would be collected whether it's by Wendell Young's workers or by private industry. And what we definitely know is that there is a large market being lost to border bleed, as Dave explained earlier, which would actually increase tax revenue if we were able to stop that through privatization. But the big thing here to always remember is that government doesn't have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. And so what we know for sure is that tax-thirsty politicians will continue to support any system where it's easy money for them to spend in their pet projects. And that's not right.
Do you think selling these licenses, though, if we went back to the original House Bill 11, could come up with the kinds of money we've been hearing about, $1.3 to $2 billion in Virginia, for example? These licenses sold for $200,000 a piece, average.
Yes, and once again, we would support a free market system whereby the consumer would really set the market and would be able to determine how many licenses there were out there. That would bring more than 6,600 wine outlets to Pennsylvania if we were to go to the national average. That would bring in more jobs, more revenue, and instead of transferring that revenue to the tax coffers of the general fund, it would actually go to citizens who are willing to take the risk and be able to have that entrepreneurial American spirit which built this country.
District Judge John Jones, who was the PLCB chairman back in 1997, he was commenting on the fact that under Governors Schapp, Thornburg, and Ridge, that attempts to privatize state stores failed. And he said the reason was, and he said, that unless and until there is a general public hue and cry, it is very, very unlikely there will be a privatization initiative that succeeds. So is the public really clamoring for this change?
Well, I think they have clamored for this change. They vote on this issue with their feet in their wallet every day to bootleg liquor and wine over the border just to get what they want. They are now responding with their voices and votes as well as they get people in government who know that government doesn't have a revenue problem. It has a spending problem. Okay. That's all the vote we need.
And we get Paulette from Hollidaysburg to weigh in. What's your question, please, Paulette? Are you there, Paulette?
The gentleman who is advocating for privatization. Yes. Hello?
Yes. Go ahead. Paulette, are you there?
Yes.
Okay.
Okay. Yes. Okay. The man who is...
Jay Ostrich from the Commonwealth Foundation?
Yes.
Do you have a question for us?
I'm sorry.
You're freezing.
I couldn't hear you. Okay. It seems to me that he belongs to the segment of people at the top of the power structure who is you know, trying to tell us that free market is the standard bearer for democracy. And I'm just the point is that the system as it is right now does bring in a huge profit for the state. It takes no money from the taxpayers. It is self-sufficient, and I can't understand. And it has, what is it, 5,000 people who are being paid a decent wage, even if it's a low one, it's $31,000 a year. It's hard to raise a family on $31,000 a year. But at least they get benefits, and they have a good job, and they can depend upon the money that they are bringing in to have at least a good level of living, good enough. And so there will be no jobs formed when you take this and put them in all of the big, you know, box, whatever it is,
respond to that.
The other side of the argument, Paulette, is if you did privatize, you'd actually increase revenue to the state because you'd unleash all this entrepreneurial spirit and there'd be more taxes collected. And that could well happen because if there were some of these more premium stores in Pennsylvania, theoretically, you could do more sales and there'd be more taxes. So, you know, there's an argument on both sides of the fence here to be made. It's not open
except
and shut.
That's not what's happened. That's not what's happened in the two states that privatized. The states took a bath on revenue reduction to the state tax collection. In the private states, there's a certain percent of the taxes that never go collected. There's a cost to audit. There's a cost to recover. There's a cost to prosecute. In modern alcohol retailing, it is the large box stores, the supermarket chains, the chain convenience stores and drug stores that dominate the liquor license ownership in those states. It won't be any different here in Pennsylvania. They're not going to create any new jobs. They're just going to reallocate their shelf space, reallocate their workforce. It'll be a net job loss of thousands of Pennsylvania workers. It'll be a net loss in terms of a negative multiplier effect in the economic benefit of the jobs that exist now versus the 3,000 to 5,000 people who find themselves out of work. And like Iowa and West Virginia, Pennsylvania will not take in the same amount of revenue. It will be the loser.
You made your point. I want to go now to Tom from Johnstown. Tom, what's your question, please?
Yes. Hello. I agree with the lady you just called. I think that this is all a push for the rich to get richer off of, and it's supporting jobs that can sustain families. And if you go with private owners, they're going to be paying minimum wage, no benefits, and I think it's just going to hurt the state.
I notice a theme in these calls. That's interesting, Wendell. There's a theme in these calls.
It's a very good theme.
Yeah, I hear that. Yeah, I guess, yeah.
Well, you know, I think we do need to address this, that I sit here as just someone who wants rich people to get richer. I've served my country in Commonwealth.
That must be Jay.
In uniform. And you know what? My wife serves as a school teacher. She's actually a union member, Wendell. So, actually, you know, we are not amongst the ultra wealthy, but we do love freedom. We both love that the free markets work for what is built, and made America great, and it can work for Pennsylvanians, as Dave has outlined very well.
I'll tell you an example of that. And you know, there are certain wineries in California. A lot of them ship to Pennsylvania. Try to get a straight answer on whether it's legal to ship into Pennsylvania. I mean, you know, I can't, you know, why? And there are a lot of places.
That would be legal under this amended House Bill 11.
Small little wineries in California who would love to ship a bottle or two, but you can't get them now because the Pennsylvania.
Actually, I disagree with that.
That's no wonder. Right, it's now, true. I mean, I could tell you the exact winery.
The PLCB.
I'm going to take one more phone call.
Into one of the stores. Whether you walk into one of the stores, whether you call them or whether you go on their internet, they will get you anything from anywhere in the world as long as the producer or the distributor will ship it.
Yes, and what you also have to do is then pay the Johnstown flood tax upon that bottle. You'll have
to. Of course you do.
Yeah, well, of course you do. You have to render Caesar.
Why should someone be allowed to evade taxes?
Do I have time for one more phone call?
You're proposing tax evasion?
Okay, I'm going to take one last phone call. Frank from Tyrone, you very quickly, what's your question, please?
Yes, real quick. My father retired from the Liquor Control Board after 40 years of service, and I spent 10 years working as a legislative aide in the 81st District, so I know a little bit about what's driving the legislature and achieving a windfall on the sale of liquor stores. And I'd like to compliment Wendell on his knowledge of his product line and the statistics that he backs it up.
Okay, thank you.
Thank
you for your phone call because we don't have a whole lot of time. I'm going to leave you with final thoughts, 20 seconds on final thoughts, what you think is going to happen, what you'd like to see happen.
Well, when it comes to privatization, as I said in an article, follow the money because that's what's going to drive it. It's not going to be consumer interests.
And we should absolutely follow the money. We should follow the money back into consumer and taxpayers' hands. It is time for government to butt out of the booze business because it is a lose business.
20 seconds, Wendell.
Current wine and spirit shops work for all Pennsylvanians in terms of revenue, community, safety. I'm all in favor of modernizing, evolving. The system is what it is today because it's evolved and modernized over the years. We should continue to do that, take the handcuffs off, as a Republican leader in the Senate said, Mr. Scarnati, and let the PLCB do a better job at making more revenue at a time where the state needs it and keep the good, decent, middle-income people working in Pennsylvania. This economy needs good jobs to lift us out of a poor economy, not a race to the bottom and get rid of those jobs.
All right. I'd like to thank all of our guests tonight. Wendell Young, president of the UFCW Local 1776, Jay Ostrich, director of public affairs for the Commonwealth Foundation, and Dave DeSimone, wine, food, and travel writer. And thank you all so much for joining us. I'm Patty Satalia. For all of us here at WPSU, thank you for joining us. Have a good night.